I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Nobody wants a surprise in their jelly donut.
It's toothpaste?
That's because the middle is the most important part. At Graybar, we're at the middle of electrical and datacom jobs across the country, connecting installers, facility managers, and business owners with smart solutions for their most challenging projects, which means stocking and delivering crucial products on time and on budget, with no surprises, thanks to our nationwide logistics network. Yep, Graybar does that.
Moments, four plays, four incidents in the NFL today that I've never seen before. In my years covering football, in my years as a network host, having to watch all of the NFL, cover all of the NFL, and not just one or two local teams, I've seen a lot. And I'll be the first to admit that my brain can't retain it all. There's way too much. And there are times where I see reference to a particular memory going back a few years or, you know, 15 years, whatevs. There are moments that I couldn't recall now. But I'm quite certain I've never seen a 3-0 NFL game. One that didn't feature any points until the final 3 minutes of the game. I'm quite certain I've never seen a punt return touchdown to win a game in overtime. And if I do, if I have, or I, it happened before at some point, I'm sure. I don't remember. Crazy stuff. I definitely have never seen Travis Kelce throw a lateral for a 49-yard touchdown only to get it called back on an offsides penalty. Oh, man, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are as steamy as you will ever hear them. Not making excuses, but definitely not on board. And Jerry Jones calling tonight's Cowboys victory over the Eagles a lopsided affair, as it was labeled by Jera as the best win of the Mike McCarthy era in Dallas. So not the playoff win last year. Nope. It would be this victory over the Eagles. And for all of the buildup, I'm not saying it loses any of its significance or its importance. It was a critical game. On national TV, the Cowboys make another statement. They return the favor against the Eagles. And as I say, this one was not close. It was not a game of inches. It was the opposite of a game of inches. So there's no underestimating how important the game is for the Cowboys. And really, there's no overstating it either. Right now, they sit in the number one seed in the NFC. That's how big it is. And they do have a great chance to win the East Division. And it may not matter for other teams. The Niners, for instance. I think they travel well. We've seen them travel well. They certainly traveled well to Philadelphia last weekend. But for the Cowboys, it is really apparent they are a tough, tough out at home. Dak Prescott is obviously having the best season of his career. Even going back to his rookie year when he stepped in for Tony Romo and injured Tony Romo. And he was so good that Romo retired. even then, this is a more mature, more confident, maybe the most confidence of his career. More sure of himself, more comfortable with his receiving core and his line. This is a mature leader in Dak Prescott. And I know you could point back to that game against the Niners from earlier in the season. But since then, the man's barely had a blip. He's now up to 28 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. That's it. There's been a lot of debate over Dak's career. Well, over the life of this recent contract. But even before that, when he and his camp were holding out and the Cowboys couldn't come to an agreement with him for a couple of years, remember? And the debate about whether or not he's worth it. He shouldn't be a franchise quarterback. I've even heard things like he's the reason they don't win. Right now, I would say he's the front runner for the MVP award. Although there are certainly other candidates, but if you're talking quarterbacks, he's among the best and has some gaudy numbers, as does his team as a whole. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good to have you with us. Good to reconvene. I hope that you enjoyed your December weekend. In some cases, winter weather. On the East Coast, the Northeast. Man, massive rain and wind and just nasty storm of a different sort. Treacherous weather driving in. And yet somehow Zach Wilson has the game of his life, but only in the second half. I should say he had the second half of his life, not the game of his life. There were actually 2 games in the NFL today that had no points at halftime. I mean, it's a big fat ew. You guys, the Vikings beat the Raiders 3-0. I sometimes will tell you when things are ugly or just awful, boring in sports, that I would rather stick a fork in my eye than watch. From now on, I'm going to say when I really want to be tortured, I'd rather watch Vikings and Raiders 10 times in a row. I counted the punts because that's just who I am.
Ow! Ow!
So, yes, we survived to another sunny night. Well, some of us did. Not all of us did. We'll have the injury updates from the NFL as we head through this hour and in these next 4 hours. Please find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. By the way, Twitter is retooling the sidebar on the left of your page or your notifications, and I cannot figure out how to get to my own profile. It's Jade, have you seen it?
I'm about to.
They've taken an icon off that left sidebar, and I can't figure out now how to get to my own profile. I don't understand. Do you see what I'm saying?
Why are they messing with things?
I don't know. There's a missing icon over there.
I see.
And now I can't. I have to search for my own profile to get to my profile page.
What is X doing?
X. He's exiting.
Can we make it RX?
He's exiting logic and reason and exiting the building. So anyway, you can find my profile by going to A-Law Radio or to our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 1 week to the wedding. 3 shows this week, though. So I don't take off until Wednesday. Wednesday evening, actually. Oh, I'll be on the road while you all are having fun here on After Hours. Jay, don't nod your head like, yeah, we're going to have fun without you. That was mean.
No, that's not what I meant.
But yes, I will be on the road driving. Oh, gosh. I probably won't have time for it on this show. But wait until I tell you about the impact of the mild sedative on one Penny Lawrence. That poor dog. She's a mess. But she slept really well on Sunday. Anyway, our phone number is 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. We are going to talk about the Ohtani contract a little bit, only because I walked into church on Sunday and got accosted by a bunch of teenage boys who volunteer in my class who wanted to know all about the Ohtani contract. So I do understand it's a huge deal. And we did tell you it was going to happen over the weekend, or it was likely to happen over the weekend. We don't have all of the deets. We have not heard from him specifically, only from his camp, because they broke the news on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Friday? Saturday? It was weird because I took off Thursday night, so I'm not. All day Friday, I kept thinking it was Saturday. And all day Saturday, I kept thinking it was Sunday. Anyway, we'll talk about Ohtani. We'll do more on that come tomorrow night when we have just the two NFL games. But yeah, certainly a bombshell of a news dump this weekend. And there's something you need to know about the Ohtani contract. It's not what it seems on face value. There is something you need to know. And I just want to say before we get back to football, thank you all for asking about the Wayward Wedding flowers. I regret to inform you they still have not arrived, and I have no idea where they are. I did, in fact, file a pair of service requests. Now, it does seem statistically impossible for two boxes going from one sender to another to both be lost, mail within 4 days of each other. I don't even know how that's possible. But I even had a government worker who is a U.S. Postal Service employee reach out and ask if he could help. So I am still believing, still praying the flowers will be found and delivered in time for next weekend's wedding. But for now, this is whatever. It is what it is. This is just how it's going to be. I'm moving forward as if I'm not getting married with flowers. I got to have a contingency plan. So thank you for hanging out. Thank you for all of your kind words. You're very sweet to care. And onward with football. As the Dallas Cowboys were staring at a chance for a 10th win, a victory over Philadelphia, and grabbing that, maybe that division title, but at the very least, putting themselves in position, right? Now, the Eagles could still win it. They have to run the table and win out. So they could still win the NFC East division crown. Right now, the Cowboys have the tiebreaker. And so for that reason, this was a huge game. But more than that, though, they've been looking up at the Eagles for the better part of two seasons. And so this was a big deal for them. Coming off of the Seattle Seahawks victory, in which they finally were able to beat a team with a winning record, right? Continue that home field advantage. But now this is a rivalry. This is an opponent that last year went to the Super Bowl, is the defending division champion, and had figured out a way to limit the Cowboys offensively. But that was then, and this is now. And the Cowboys are a different team at home. Again, for every team in the NFL, home field would not be that big of a deal in the postseason. For the Cowboys, honestly, could be the difference between a Super Bowl run or not. The Cowboys don't waste any time in this one. Points on all four possessions in the first half.
Shotgun, Pollard on his right. Two tight ends on the left, back to throw, looking left, looking right, pumps, runs out to the left. Throws on the run, Lamb at the seven, and strolls in, walks all the dogs. Touchdown, Lamb, but there's a flag.
I think this may get picked
there is
up.
No foul on the player.
There we
the
go.
Result of the player is a touchdown.
There we go.
Prescott extends his hands, takes the snap, back to pass, looks left, throws left, caught, touchdown, Cowboys, Michael Gallup. They threw the slant. Gallup came from outside in. There's a penalty flag down. I wonder if we're going to get that pick.
Yeah, you're definitely going to. And that was a late flag, too.
There is no foul on the play. The result of the play is a touchdown.
So So a one-yard touchdown pass to Michael Gallup. And with 20 seconds remaining in the half, it's 23-6 Cowboys.
Dallas gets a pair of touchdowns from Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb, of course. That's the first score. And then Michael Gallup just before half was done. And in that first half alone, the Cowboys embark on the wondrous journey of three of them. A trio of 75-yard drives. Brilliant throws by Dak. Great connections with his receivers. And the Eagles really looked powerless to stop it. As for Philadelphia, three fumbles in this game. At times they've shown they've got a turnover issue. Or maybe safer to say, they've had a turnover issue in multiple games this year. Only one time did the Eagles ever get into the red zone. Dallas controlled the ball and controlled the game. 13 minutes more with the ball in their hands and at home with that crowd and that defense. Oh, that's more than enough for a win. The bright spot for the Eagles came on defense, actually, because they didn't have an offensive touchdown. Jalen Carter with a 42-yard fumble return for a score. So the rookie out of Georgia, you know his story, his first touchdown in the league. But that was the only touchdown for Philadelphia in falling against the two biggest rivals, or two biggest threats, shall we call them, in the NFC. The Niners and the Cowboys. So this was not only a lopsided affair, it was loud, it was noisy, it was gaudy, it was a confidence boost. And to add insult to injury, even the kicker had a career day. The rookie Brandon Aubrey now is 30 for 30 this season. He has not missed. His first year in the NFL, he had four more field goals earlier tonight, and two of them come from 59 and 60 yards. How about that? I don't know whether or not people believe in the Cowboys yet. I've been saying all along, for a couple of different reasons, that Niners lost, the turning point for them. And Dak Prescott took it personally. We know he did. But his team has continued to support him. The defense is so good, even losing Trayvon Diggs, which was devastating at the time. So my question for you is, do you believe in the Cowboys now? Emphasis on the now, not last week, a month ago, next year. Now do you believe in the Cowboys? And producer Jay will put up a post on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Remember Mike McCarthy? He had an emergency appendectomy just a few days ago.
No issues, really. I just wanted to do my part. You know, I just wanted to make sure that I was prepared as I normally am. So, you know, and I did. I was a little nervous about it today. So. Because, you know, it's a long year. We're all creatures of habit. You know, you go through these normal 7-day weeks and, you know, when you miss time, you know, it was, but I was able to make it up. And frankly, I think the best part about it is I would get more sleep probably than I normally do. So,
jealous.
But the players did a great job. The coaches did a great job and, you know, we didn't miss a beat. And I think we demonstrated that tonight.
Yeah. Impressive. Mike McCarthy made a point to put experienced coaches around him on the staff, and they clearly are able to carry the load when he's not available. So good for him. Glad he's healthy. But yeah, this one meant a little more for the Dallas Cowboys, and we will hear about it from Dak Prescott. Oh, and Micah Parsons, who apparently was sick throughout this game and yet still had a sack, a quarterback hit, and a tackle for loss in what was an overwhelming performance on both sides of the ball for Dallas. The calls with Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network and then Ryan Radke on Westwood One. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Again, you all are very kind, recognizing my my brain and my heart being pulled in two different directions this week. I appreciate your support. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Now do you believe in the Dallas Cowboys? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hurts in the gun. Snap back, looking, throws it out underneath to A.J. Brown. He fumbled the ball, and it is recovered by Dallas. That looked like a catch and a fumble, and that's what it was.
Prescott takes his drop. He's looking. He is brought down. He fumbles the football. It's picked up, and running along the sideline and in for the touchdown is Jalen Carter.
Fletcher Cox busts through that offensive line. He gets the sack, fumble, and the young guy scoops it up. He scoops and scores down the right sideline, and there is life.
His first touchdown in the NFL.
It was lights out tonight. I think it's like anything. You clean up your last game. You're able to learn from it. But you could feel it when they came back from the Thursday night game in Seattle. I mean, you could feel it in the coaches on Monday, and then obviously carry through this week. So, I mean, there was no surprise they were going to play well tonight.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Fumbles definitely a theme on Sunday night. The Eagles with three of them. The Cowboys have the one that does get returned for a touchdown, but that's significant because it was the only touchdown of the game for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's Merrill Reese manning the Eagles play-by-play. And this one returning the favor for Philadelphia, and yet not as close as what we saw a couple weeks ago when the Eagles beat the Cowboys. So do you believe in the Cowboys now? That is the question. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Cowboys have won five consecutive games. Right now, they have the same winning streak as do the San Francisco 49ers. Both these teams are 10-3, as are the Eagles. But the Cowboys have the tiebreak over the Eagles right now, though they would lose the head-to-head tiebreak against the Niners because San Francisco beat them earlier in the season. Remember, that was their worst game of the year, but I do believe a turning point for Dallas and for Dak Prescott. And he still has much higher standards than what we saw from him tonight.
I told you before, I'm my biggest critic. I don't think I played, obviously, not my best game. I'm a completions guy. I want to get completions. I want to get it rolling. There's a streak there that was, I don't know, it felt like 7 to 10 or so, a few incompletions in a row. But then we got it going. We got it back going, got it back on track.
But if he would like a streak, how about this one, to counter his streak in which he felt like he missed a connection with his receivers too many times in a row, he now has seven consecutive games with at least two touchdown passes. That's a career long for Dak Prescott. The Cowboys go 3-for-3 in the red zone. So when they got inside the red area, they were money. Now, they did also have to settle for a few long field goals. But speaking of money, is Brandon Aubrey the new Justin Tucker? That's sacrilegious, isn't it? It is. It's sacrilegious, especially when he's kicking in a dome. But it's sacrilegious. I take it back. No one can be the new Justin Tucker. But watch out, Tucker. You know he's not the most accurate kicker in the NFL anymore. It's all so crazy when he misses a kick. Anyway, we'll get to Ravens and Rams, which was also a lot of fun. Do you believe in the Cowboys now? To sit in the top spot in the NFC East with so much time left to go. Now, they have a tough schedule moving forward. I suppose if you're into the whole schedule inspection, wins and losses of your opponents and records of your opponents, the Cowboys have the tougher road still ahead. Up next, at Buffalo. All right, so that's a tough one considering that the Bills have got some new life now after their victory over the Chiefs. We'll talk about that coming up after the update. Then the Cowboys go to Miami, followed by a home game against the Lions in which they could extend their home winning streak. Right now it's at 15 consecutive wins, and they follow with a game at Washington. We'll see whether or not Ron Rivera still has a job then. But they've enjoyed this run of games at home. They've had three consecutive games at AT&T Stadium, and now they finish up with three of four on the road, and three of them are likely, well, potentially playoff teams. Okay, we don't know about Buffalo yet, but Miami and Detroit almost certainly bound for the playoffs. So we're going to see what the Cowboys are made of yet again. They've shown us a little something-something in back-to-back wins at home, but now it's time to take that show on the road.
Laugh now, cry later.
Oh, Micah Parsons. Apparently wasn't feeling well in this game.
I woke up with 102.3 fever. Just like, I mean, I took as many drugs and IVs as a man possibly could take to be able to play today. And I just need to just go home and rest.
Poor guy. He doesn't sound real good, actually. But he played extremely well. One sack, one quarterback hit, one tackle for loss.
I think everybody's been waiting for that statement win. We've been talking about statements, and you got this high power offense that came in our stadium and how good we've been at home. We wanted to put a statement at home, especially how that game went last time. It could have went either way, 50-50. We forced three turnovers last time, but it just fell their way. So it's good to, for them to finally fall our way.
I need him to stop talking. I need him to go home and sleep it off. Jalen Hurts recognizes the Eagles are facing a new adversity here with a game challenger in Dallas.
It's all about knowing the process and trusting in the process and trusting in the guys around you. You know, there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be adversity you have to come through, but it's all about how you respond to it. And the beautiful thing about it is we control how we respond to it, and we just have to keep pushing away. That's as simple as that.
Asking you the question of, now do you believe in the Cowboys? Kathy writes on Facebook, maybe. Huh. Could you be more middle of the road? Could you be more straddling the fence?
Point blank, period.
Poor Micah Parsons. Ted says on Facebook, yes, I believe, but still think the 49ers are the best team in football. Yeah, Dallas has a chance this year. Well, oh, chance for what? I suppose he means Super Bowl. Let's not jump the gun. All right, coming up, the defending Super Bowl champions, they've also had some major adversity come their way, though a lot of it is created themselves. A lot of it is kind of shooting themselves in their own feet. But the Chiefs have lost three of four. Although I still say the game on Sunday was bigger for Buffalo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Sherfield comes out to the right. Davis wide to the left. Cook to the left of Allen in the shotgun. Late motion from Sherfield. Allen back to pass. Looking deep down the seam to James Cook, who leaps into the end zone for the touchdown. 3:43 left in the first quarter, and the Bills are on the board first. Second and goal from the six. Here's the snap. It's a design run to Allen. Going to tuck it and fight his way. The surge pushing him down to the two and into the end zone for the touchdown. It was a pile-driving touchdown run by Josh Allen from 6 yards out. Wow! Big Daddy Longlegs!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We certainly got to see a bully rush from Josh Allen. And that strength, that power, that explosiveness, all of it working for the Bills quarterback and working early, as a matter of fact, as the Bills were there at Arrowhead Stadium, a stadium where they've had a lot of success. This was one of the more enticing matchups on this Week 14 schedule. Week 14, you guys. Once we get through the doubleheader on Monday night, actually, it's not even a doubleheader. It's two games at the same time. I don't get it. But I am not the NFL, the brilliant scheduling minds at the NFL. Anyway, once we get through those games on Monday evening, we are down to just 4 weeks in the NFL regular season. Four, including Christmas weekend and New Year's weekend. And then after that, there's just one more. It's crazy the way we start January with the final weekend of the NFL regular season. There'll be so much on the line. Then it's the college football playoff. So the semifinals are January 1st. The college football playoff, the national championship, follows that last week of the regular season, if I have my dates correct. And then we go right into NFL postseason. I've tried to prepare Bob. People who know me know. These are literally the two most important months on our entire sports radio calendar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Facebook, you can answer the question, now do you believe in the Dallas Cowboys? Or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for all of your sweet responses about the flowers, and the wedding is actually coming up. We're inside of a week now. My mom sent me a text on Sunday night because our wedding's in the afternoon. She said, the countdown is on. I was like, oh, okay. Well, Bob and I have been counting down for about 6 months now, but all right.
Now it's official, though.
Now it's officially a countdown. And she said, I'm so excited, which is makes me happy that my mom's excited because she has also waited and prayed for a really long time to see her only daughter get married. But ahem, back to football and the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs, who look vulnerable. Mahomes had an early ball, batted down an interception at the line of scrimmage. AJ Epenesa, I mean, he actually leads the NFL in that category, which is impressive. So that was one of the earliest possessions for the Chiefs. And Buffalo's able to use that mistake as well as just short possessions, empty possessions by the Chiefs to build a 2-touchdown lead. And you hear them both there with Chris Brown on Bills radio. Now, Josh does throw a pick himself, and so that jumpstarts the Kansas City offense. They are at home. This is their comfort zone. And they do have a late touchdown in the first half that incorporates Jerick McKinnon. So it's 14-7 at the half, although did you notice how long those final couple plays of the first half took? Travis Kelce's out there on defense to prevent the Hail Mary. It just seemed like those last few minutes with Buffalo trying anything, something, anything to get another touchdown. You don't often see Hail Marys to wrap up a first half, but that's what the Bills were going for. So they get into the second half, and there's a pair of long drives that really consume the whole third quarter. One for the Bills to tack on a field goal, and then one for the Chiefs to see if they can cut into what is now a 10-point deficit.
Mahomes out of an empty backfield set. Turns left, now goes back in the end zone. Caught! Rashee Rice! Touchdown! Kansas City! And Rashee Rice now ties a Kansas City Chiefs rookie record with his 6th receiving touchdown in his rookie career. And even more importantly, the Chiefs are back within one score on a 4-yard touchdown strike.
Mitch Holthus, he sounds a little subdued there on the Chiefs radio network. Just wait. There is more to come. So Rashee Rice, the rookie, has been a great addition to the offense. I like his versatility because that's what Andy Reid is looking for in weapons around Patrick Mahomes. With all the motion, the confusion, the misdirection, all the unique and innovative ways that he can use the talent. So that touchdown catch brings the Chiefs within 3. Now, rookies giveth and they taketh away. Rice also fumbles to end the third quarter, but we've said this throughout this season. The Chiefs' defense may be as good as the offense this year. So the defense holds. And then the Chiefs are able to get a field goal to tie the game early in the fourth quarter. And then, whoa, hold on to your butts. That's how we go into the fourth quarter on national TV. It was pretty awesome to know that these two quarterbacks, these two offenses and defenses, of course, would have to duel to the, well, not to the death. That's a little melodramatic. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Bills go 12 plays. They take, if I remember correctly, it's about 5 minutes off the clock. And they get the go-ahead 48-yard field goal just inside 2 minutes. So again, dial up the drama. Was it 13 seconds a couple years ago in the playoffs? Well, they had more than 13 seconds. But they were inside the two-minute warning. And the Chiefs are feeling it. They're feeling good. And you know Travis Kelce, he is a superstar.
20-17 Buffalo. They send another blitz. Selling out. Flag on the play. Might be a free one. They've got Kelce at the 30. Kelce 25. Angling back. 20. Now he's going to lateral it back at the 15-yard line. It's Tony. 10. 5. Touchdown. Kansas City. They mess around in practice with this all the time. It's going to go with a 49-yard touchdown. Kelce, the old University of Cincinnati quarterback.
Offside. Number 19 offense lined up in the neutral zone. 5-yard penalty. Check it out.
Offsides by the offense lined up in the neutral zone.
Who was it on?
On Kadarius.
Oh, my goodness. One of the most exciting plays. A TD is wiped off the board and a 5-yard penalty. Second and 15 for the Chiefs at their own 46. It would have gone as a 49-yard touchdown catch and lateral.
It was a heck of a football game down to the end. Very disappointed that it ended the way it did, and normally I'll get, I never use any of this as excuses, but normally I get a warning before something like that happens in a big game. A bit embarrassing in the National Football League for that to take place.
Lost for words, man. It's tough because regardless if we win or lose, man, just for it to end with another game and we're talking about the refs, man, it's just not what we want for the NFL and for football.
Both Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes had plenty to say. I know that it was a big moment with just over a minute to go. I understand it was stunning, and it was a dazzling touchdown. Travis Kelce makes this great catch up the middle like he'd been doing most of the game, and he doesn't even shovel it. He doesn't flip it. He actually throws it like a quarterback to a wide open Tony, who then takes it the rest of the way to the house. 49 yards in total. But it's called back on the offsides penalty on Kadarius Tony. And then there are three more incomplete passes by Mahomes that fall short, and the Bills defense holds. Our friend Gene Steratore, who's been on the show many times, posted this on Twitter and also talked about it on the broadcast. Because Tony Romo said, I've never seen anything like that. Offsides penalty on a receiver. Gene writes, when officiating the line of scrimmage, general philosophy is not to be overly technical and split hairs over very minor infractions, like a receiver's hand slightly breaking the line of scrimmage. However, when an infraction is so egregious and obvious, a flag has to be thrown. Kadarius Toney is blatantly lined up offside and in the neutral zone. You rarely see an offsides penalty on the offense, but that is not because this play isn't a foul. It's because a receiver rarely lines up offsides. If you go to Gene's Twitter, in fact, Jay can retweet it from our show account, After Hours CBS. It shows you a photo, a still photo of where Tony is lined up. I understand it was a big moment, and it was a huge touchdown, and maybe the Chiefs were going to come all the way back. But it was still a foul, regardless of when it occurred in the game. Josh Allen saw it, too.
I
originally thought it was on us. I didn't know what the flag is. It's not a flag that they usually call. I was just getting up, ready to go score. You know, we're going to have a minute and 20 seconds left. I think we had all three timeouts, so maybe had two, but that was going through my mind.
Yeah, you rarely see it called. And the point that Andy Reid was making is we usually get a heads up from the officials. And that may be true. I've heard other coaches say that. Thing is, officials don't owe you that heads up. It's a rule. And while it stinks to have a flag in that moment, I know I'm not an NFL wide receiver, but how hard is it to make sure that you're not lined up past the line of scrimmage? I don't feel like that's a hard thing to do. Do you guys remember Dee Ford a couple years ago? Patriots Chiefs AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. And what would have been the game sealing interception off Tom Brady, and Dee Ford is lined up offsides. He didn't play for the Chiefs after that. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
Says here that Graybar is a distributor?
Yeah, we support electrical and datacom projects all over the country.
So you can get me the products I need, where and when I need them?
Yeah, thanks to our national logistics network.
Any industry?
Yeah, construction, industrial plants, schools, hospitals.
So you could say Graybar is much more than a distributor.
Yeah, you could say that. When you need a hand powering, connecting, or maintaining your operations, join the thousands of professionals who rely on Graybar to help keep them up and running. Yeah, Graybar does that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.